Mary born a baby. In that simple song, there is a wealth of theology. Mary gave birth to an infant who was totally human and also totally God. Mary born a baby. But there is much more to it than this. As the angels told the shepherds, there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Mary born a baby who is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Of all of the pictures in the Old Testament of the Savior Jesus Christ, one of the loveliest is the figure of a lamb. And this evening, in a brief meditation, I should like to consider the lamb in the Old Testament, and then the lamb on the cross, and then very briefly, the lamb in the future. For the lamb in the Old Testament, would you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, where we have the first Passover feast. Exodus chapter 12. You'll notice that in Exodus chapter 12, you have the Jews in bondage in Egypt, some 2 million Israelites. And the Lord Jesus is preparing them for the last night when they will be in Egypt. And the feast they are to observe is the feast of the Passover, which had two purposes. One was strength, and the other was protection. They were to eat the Passover lamb for physical strength, and to use the blood of that lamb for protection. In the instructions that are given to us, we'll notice that the lamb was to be a perfect lamb. You notice verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You'll notice they were to select that lamb on the 10th day, and they were to keep it for 4 days. Verse 6 says, and you shall keep it unto the 14th day. 4 days for examination. The lamb was to be a perfect lamb. A lovely illustration of Jesus Christ, born without sin, examined by man for some 33 years, and found to be sinless. You notice as well the fact that the lamb is totally adequate. In verse 3, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. No provision for too little lamb. There is always enough lamb, enough for one household, and in fact it is possible there was a surplus, and in that case, two households could unite. Again, indicating the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is adequate as a Savior. But above all, you notice that the blood of the lamb was taken and applied to the doorpost and to the top of the door. This was for protection. The Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, everyone thinks that means, when I see the blood, I will skip over you. I'll see the blood on the doorpost, and I won't enter into that house. I'll skip over the house. That is not what it means at all. It means when I see the blood, I will pass over the house in protection. I will hover over that house and will not permit the death angel to enter into that house. You'll notice in verse 23 it says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not permit the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So the purpose of the blood was protection, and the death angel was not permitted to enter in. And the Lord Jesus, by his precious blood, protects us from all of the demands of Satan and sin over us. The Lamb is the Passover Lamb. This is the Lamb in the Old Testament. When I turn to the New Testament, I find that Jesus Christ is the Lamb on the cross. In John 1:29, that harried John the Baptist sees the Lord Jesus coming towards him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, the one that takes away the sin of the world. In Genesis 4, one man offers a sacrifice as Abel. One sacrifice for one man. In Exodus chapter 12, one sacrifice for a family. In Leviticus chapter 16, a sacrifice for a nation. But you go throughout the Old Testament and you do not find a sacrifice for the world. But John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world." And this is Jesus Christ on the cross. No wonder Peter could say, "We were not redeemed from our vain manner of life received by tradition from our fathers with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." Jesus Christ is God's Lamb, the one who paid his precious life's blood for our sin as our substitute. But there's a third picture of the Lamb, and this is in the future. In Revelation chapter 5, and if you will, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, I'd like you to notice the adoration of the Lamb in the future. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And here is a scene in heaven. And I would like you to notice, beginning at verse 9, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou, the Lamb, thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands sang with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And verse 13, "And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the sea, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Would you notice? The Lamb one day is going to be worshipped. And this will be, my friend, during the Great Tribulation. Do you know why the Lamb receives all of this adoration and adulation? It's because he is worthy to take a scroll which no one else could open with seven seals. And the Lamb takes these scrolls and begins to peel them off one by one. And as each seal is broken, all hell breaks loose on this earth. There's a holocaust of anarchy and famine and war and pestilence, until finally you have a different view of the Lamb in chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Let's take verse 15 to get the context. Verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" In heaven, God's redeemed will be praising the Lamb for his person, for only he has the authority to take the seals and break them. But as the seals are broken, tribulation breaks forth on this earth. And great men and small men, prisoners and free men, slaves and workers, will cry out to the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. That's a strange term. Who has ever seen an angry lamb? I've seen lambs who were sprightly and joyful. I've seen lambs who were docile and easily intimidated. But I've never seen an angry lamb. But Jesus Christ is now seen as a lamb who quietly suffered, who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep are led to the shears, dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This is Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. And my friend, there are only two responses to Jesus Christ. Either there are those who will fall down and worship him and express all his glory because they have welcomed him into their hearts, or there are those who one day will flee from the wrath of the Lamb. Mary born a baby, that's true. A baby who was the Savior, Christ the Lord. A baby who was a Lamb, born to be our Savior, and one day born to be judged. If you are not among those who worship Jesus Christ and love him and serve him, may I invite you in this Christmas season to, in simple faith, bow your heart and trust in Jesus Christ as your own individual personal Savior. For you, this will indeed be a silent night, and it will be a holy night set apart because you receive the Lord Jesus as your own individual personal Savior.